This piece was brought to you by the International Culinary Center, culinarycenter.com.
This is Chef Emily Peterson, host of Sharp and Hot. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey everybody, welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb, the weekly show that's all about girl power and food. My name is Carrie Diamond, and I'm the co-founder and editorial director of Cherry Bomb magazine. Today's guest is Emily Elson of 4 and 20 Blackbirds, the cult bakery from Brooklyn. Hey, Emily.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good, good. It feels like a Friday in here, doesn't it? We sort of have a party going on in the studio. We have some special guests. We have my partner in crime, co-founder and creative director of Cherry Bomb, Claudia Wu, who's not next to a microphone. We have Homa from White Mustache sitting in the corner. We have Liz, our assistant. Say hi, Liz. And then we have Jack, our engineer in the control room. Hey, Jack.
I'm here. What's up?
Not much. How are you?
I'm good.
So I was saying earlier that, you know, this is like the third season of Radio Cherry Bomb. And for a food show, we don't really have much food in the studio because probably you don't really want to bring that much food around the microphones and all the equipment and everything. But Emily was awesome. And because it's cherry season. She brought us some cherry pie. So you automatically are the best guest ever. So thank you. She brought us two whole pies, including, why don't you describe this one pie that's in front of me?
Sure. That one is the sour cherry pie. And so there's different varieties of cherries, but with the two that we can get, which come from upstate New York in the Hudson Valley, we get them from Wilklow Orchards. And sour cherries have a really pretty brief season. It's about like 2 to 3 weeks if you're lucky, and so they're quite sour.
They're actually tart. Quite sour. Yeah. I'm about to eat this. Yeah. If you can hear this at home, people freak out about sour cherries.
Oh, they do.
Why is that?
Well, I think probably because of the brevity. You know, that they're a sort of something that you can't get, and they don't have a good shelf life either. You know, like you buy cherries from Washington or the sweet cherries, Michigan or something. Those have a pretty good fridge shelf life. But sour cherries are delicate. They bruise easily. I work really closely with Albert at Wilklow Orchards about like making sure I can get the cherries. And additionally, cherries, I can't speak so knowledgeably about all fruit trees, but cherries definitely will produce big 1 year and then not produce for the next 2 years.
Wow. So, this pie is sick.
Yeah.
Jack, are you eating this?
It's still warm. That's crazy.
Oh my God. This is right out of the oven. I'm supposed to be sharing this with everybody in the studio, and you know what's so amazing about this? I feel like you go somewhere and you get a cherry pie, and the cherry, it's like a jam.
Yeah.
It's not even, you're like, ugh.
It's usually canned or jarred or something.
Right.
More often than not.
This looks like a cherry tomato pie. Like, the cherries are all
exactly
completely distinct. It's really, really good. I'm going to pass this around in a minute. Okay. One of the super cool things about 4 and 20 Blackbirds, and we'll talk about everything that's amazing about you and your sister who started the company with you, is you're really into seasonal pies, which I think wasn't that big a thing, at least I didn't notice previously, because before you, to be honest, I didn't really eat that much pie. I'm a bike ride away from your pie shop, so.
And you were one of our first customers.
Exactly. I was, on the very first day that they opened 5 years ago,
yeah.
I was one of the first people there, and I was just so excited. I read about you in New York Magazine, and I said to my boyfriend, we have to go. And we went there, and you and your sister were, I mean, not like zombies, but kind of.
Oh, zombies is about right.
And I've
like
since
probably
learned
on hour 17, you know, maybe a couple of tears had been shed, some arguments, lots of oven burns, God knows what.
I've since learned that it is the dumbest thing to go to a business on the very first day, but it's also one of the nicest things to do, to
yes,
go on the very first day.
And I remember that very well. I was like, you know, you don't forget those people that are there the first week, when, you know, particularly if you're like, it's your first business, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. So what other what are some seasonal pies on the menu right now as I have another bite of this pie?
Well, so that's the sour cherry, which we typically do with a lattice top. And we do a sweet cherry, which is like the darker red cherries, like I was mentioning. We do that with a streusel top.
Which, oh, my God. Yeah, and speaking of which, Jack, that's the second pie that we have.
This is the best day ever here.
I mean, there's something special about cherry pie. It's, you know, I think it's that brevity again that is there, that is part of it. You can't get it. And again, that it's often canned. But maybe it's the Twin Peaks reference. I don't know. But it is definitely quite special. But it's fruit season. So we're in the midst of raspberries, you know, rhubarb. Of course, rhubarb is the first hearkening of spring, and then you know, you get into cherries and strawberries. We do strawberry balsamic, which has always been a very popular pie for us. We also, let's see, we've just gotten in gooseberries, so gooseberry pie.
And all you need to do is make cherry pie. Jack,
I'm basically
I'm not used to real cherries like this.
No,
like you said, you know,
not at all.
That's really good.
Do you charge $1 million for this pie? It's like,
and I wish I'd be a millionaire. I think we charge a little bit more because they are quite labor intensive. So they're a little over 40 for a pie.
Wow, but, that's expensive. How much per slice?
Five. What are we at now? Five. Oh my God, I'm so bad. $5.50, $5.75 a slice, something like that.
That's a solid slice for $5.50.
Yeah,
$5.75,
something like that in the shop. And then, you know, we do them wholesale as well. So if I can't control what other people charge,
Jack and I can attest that it's worth every dollar, whatever they're charging. Okay,
good.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
$10
I appreciate
a
that
slice.
A lot because, you know, and I'm sure my team, my baking team, appreciates mm-hmm. that too, because they spend a lot of time pitting those cherries one by one, all by hand. And if you want my tip on the best pitter, it's a handheld pitter, the little old school paper punch style. That's the best. We use those consistently.
I was pitting cherries the other day, and it's a total bitch. So yeah, for everybody out there whose job it is to pit cherries, God bless.
Yep, it looks like a butcher room when you're done, like the cherry juice mm-hmm. splattering everywhere.
This is amazing, and they're so different. The two pies.
Yeah, right? It's kind of amazing how dramatically, you know, the sours are so sour.
So not to be a total pie nerd, but so the sweet cherry pie has streusel on top.
Yes.
And the sour cherry has a lattice top. Mm-hmm. So how do you make those very important decisions about what to top the pie with?
You know, it's funny. I think that it's ingredient driven. I mean, like, I personally really love rhubarb with like an oat crumble top because the tart and like fibrous rhubarb goes nice with the oat. That makes sense to me, you know? And I think that's similar with the sweet cherry and the streusel. It's like the sweet cherries are so rich and sweet and full that like too much crust can overwhelm them a little bit. We certainly do a sweet cherry mm-hmm. with lattice if somebody wants it. Like, you know, we kind of have narrowed our pie topping down to lattice or a full top, which is a full crust top, streusel, and then our oat crumble. And I think that we just, you know, blueberry streusel works really well, but like streusel on apple is just okay. I wish I could articulate more why, but I guess it's more about feel and like just kind of overall experience. Like oat crumble goes good with apple. It's like the heartiness, you mm-hmm. know?
So who is the baker? So we should go back a second. Mm-hmm. So 4 and 20 Blackbirds is actually mm-hmm. you and your sister, Melissa.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you two did not set out to be bakers or to open a pie shop.
Oh, in our early lives? Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. No, we did not. We grew up working in our mother's restaurant, where our grandmother was a pie maker for the restaurant. So.
And was it called Calico Corner?
It was called Calico Kitchen.
Calico Kitchen.
Yeah.
That's the cutest name ever.
Isn't that
ever.
Sweet? And they had like a quilt. Their sign was a quilt that said Calico Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So we grew up in the restaurant. I mean, I was like 5 and Melissa was 3. Our mom was, 25 with her sisters. And then Grandma Liz, their mother, signed up to do the pies. And I mean, she was probably doing, I don't know, 20 pies a week or something. It's a small town, you know, but she had a cult following for her pie. So we grew up doing that and then went different directions for education. Myself for photography and sculpture here in Brooklyn at Pratt, and my sister studied business and economics and business management in South Dakota. So, those things, I think what happened is that Melissa and I had always talked about starting a business together and doing something together, but we probably never really thought like about what that would be exactly. I think we like talked about like shoe company or an art gallery or like random weird things, you know, that we were interested in. And what we found is that like in our late 20s, we both had gravitated back to making food. And she was doing like wedding cakes and she was considering culinary school. And I myself had moved into a larger house where I had an actual kitchen and was like just got super excited about baking and making tarts and making things for people as gifts. Like if it was a birthday, I was like, I'm making the cake, you know. And I think we just recognized that that was part of our fabric because we grew up, you know, with it. So it made sense and we knew how to do it. Or we knew, you know, we don't know exactly how to do it, but we're still learning. But we had a real passion and sort of it didn't scare us to, like, leap into that. But we definitely didn't want to open a restaurant.
Smart.
I mean, you know, like I still to this day, I'm like, I don't think I could do a restaurant. Maybe like a wine shop, but we knew that we wanted to. Pie spoke to us. We both were like, yeah, like this is fun and hard, and like challenging, and there's like a lot of creative direction you can go with it, and it's not fussy either. At the same time, you know, it's not like I don't think either of us would be that. I mean, I totally respect and appreciate like finely made cakes. I think that's really cool, but like. You will never see me like fussing over fondant probably. Like I'm not, I'll do it if I have to, but like I liked that pie is like, you know, really sort of hands-on and it's also not super confectionery. So we were attracted to that. And I think that's why we honed in on pie. We were making all kinds of other things, but then we were like, oh, this is something we really like can sink our teeth into.
What was the aha moment? We have to open a pie shop.
Well, it's funny because it was a mix of things that led to it, and it was a lot about the timing, the location, and just our place in our lives. We were still in our 20s, and Gowanus, I think, you know, people know that Gowanus was kind of, it's still growing, but it's definitely, like, got a lot going on now, but at the time, it was like the space, like we didn't even like look around for the perfect space. It was like, this space is really cool. We want to make pie. We know that there's coffee needed here. Let's just do it.
Like, so for those of you who don't know what Gowanus is, it's a part of Brooklyn. It's a very industrial part of Brooklyn. And 5 years ago when 420 Blackbirds opened their pie shop, there really was very little there except industrial businesses.
Yeah, artists taking over space, fashion designers, printmakers.
Not the number of restaurants or bars or ice cream shops or anything that there is today. You know, sometimes it just takes that one pioneer, no pun intended, to change a neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I think you and your sister are coming in there and...
Well, we certainly got attention for doing it. You know, I mean, there may
from
have...
Day one.
Yeah, which was overwhelming to us. I mean, I had no idea. You think I would have known. I was in the art world before. And like, I know like if an artist gets a review of their painting show, it's like, boom, you know, they're on the map. I didn't even think about food press. Melissa and I both were like, we had a New York Magazine article, thanks to Robin and Rob, like that, like totally like made our business, ignited it because it was like they put a picture of our pie there, and we had no real conception of what was about to happen to us that in that first year because of that.
And Robin, then it just gets Robin of New York Magazine have done more for small. Food
Absolutely.
Businesses in New York,
Absolutely.
I think, than
they're amazing.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean, we should call them Saint Robin.
Yes.
Saint Robin.
I agree.
So go ahead. So you were a pioneer in this neighborhood, and now if you go visit Gowanus, you've got Ample Hills, you've got Dinosaur Barbecue,
you have Fletcher's Barbecue, Runner and Stone, the Pines, Little Neck,
the Shuffleboard place.
Royal Palms, right?
Right, yep. Royal Palms. Yeah. So you know, I don't want to give you all the credit for changing that neighborhood, but I think you get a lot of credit for taking a chance on that neighborhood.
Yeah, I think so. And I think we were on the cusp. And I know one of our neighbors is Steve Hindy, who is the founder of Brooklyn Brewery. And I remember this was a moment for me where Steve was like, if you told me somebody would line up on Third Avenue for something, which like we get a line for Thanksgiving, he's like, I never would have believed it because he's lived down there for a really long time. And that I was like, oh, like, you know.
Jump forward to Thanksgiving. I remember your first Thanksgiving and it was like, OMG.
Yes. We had to close the shop in order to fulfill orders. And I don't even remember. No, I don't think we even took orders. We did first
come
first.
You had lines down the block.
Yeah. Who would have thought? I mean, it's crazy. We were like so overwhelmed and so wonderful. I mean, it's like such a blessing, you know. But I think we elected to not take orders because we were like, we don't even know how much we can do. We have one oven, you know. And we'd like set out as this very, I mean, it was so humble, honestly. And part of it was measured risk, too. You know, if you talk about like starting up and not taking too much of a financial investment that is going to overwhelm you. Like, we were really, like, super conservative about that because we just, you know, it was 2009, not to mention, you know, or it was when Melissa moved to New York in 2010. So things were still a little bit like, you know, who knows? I mean, I don't we saw places close, you know?
Right.
As it goes, but.
So what do you wish you knew starting out?
Well, I think, I mean, there's a lot that I wish I knew because I've learned a lot. But a big part of it, one thing when Melissa and I started out, we were like, we don't need any employees. We'll just do it ourselves.
Oh, boy.
Totally crazy. Totally crazy. Like, what were we thinking? But because we were off the beaten path and because we were in this little tiny space, I mean, the kitchen only fits like five people. So we had some friends help us, like, wash dishes and work at the counter. But, like, I think on day five, we're like, okay, we need to hire a counter person. Duh. You know, like, what were we thinking? So now I think that kind of translates to managing people and managing our team and being a good boss. Like, those are things that I don't know that you can't. You have to learn them, you know. They're so important. Our team is so important. They're so talented and they're so smart and they're so driven to, like, stick with the motto and the MO that we have of creating a good handmade seasonal product. And they really care. And I think that the people that have that passion stick with us. And, you know, I think managing, like, the interpersonal stuff and the workflow things, those are things that I wish I would love to, like, go take a HR management course or something.
Still?
Sometimes, yeah. Because I think, you know, in the early days, it was like we were all so tight in the kitchen, and that's such a good energy. But then as you grow, it gets harder to be so close with all of the individual people that work for you. And I often regret that, you know. But we try to be, like, in our new production space, Melissa and I have two little, tiny little offices, but they're right there, like, practically next to the ovens, and we try to be as present as possible. And keep things going.
Great. So we're going to take a little break right now, and when we come back, we are going to talk about the many things that you have in the works. Everybody, welcome back to Radio Cherry Bomb. We're here with Emily Elson from 4 and 20 Blackbirds. Emily was filling us in on the early days of 4 and 20. They just celebrated their 5-year anniversary of their pie shop in Gowanus, Brooklyn. If you live in the city or visit the city, definitely go check them out. They have a lot of things in the works right now. When Emily and I were talking before the show, and I had asked her what's going on, they have a long list of stuff. So we're going to talk about that. Before we talk about that, I have to mention your cookbook. Okay. Last year, you two put out the most, you and your sister Melissa, who you founded the company with, put out the most beautiful cookbook.
Thank you.
And in a day when there's so many cookbooks, it's like, wow, who needs yet another cookbook? It's beautiful and it's timeless, which is a really nice thing. I hope you're selling a gazillion copies. But tell us about the team behind the cookbook.
Well, the cookbook was such a wonderful collaboration of just, like, pie making and making good images and making good recipes. And our photographers were Gentle and Hires, who are friends of ours. And
we love them. They're so Cherry Bomb contributors.
Yeah. Andrea Gentle and Marty Hires. When we told them we were starting a pie company, Andrea told me this story. She's like, Marty and I almost did that. And I'm like, I think you made the right choice with photography. And it's because I think she's like, we thought about doing a blueberry pie truck in Maine.
Get
or something.
Out, really?
Yeah, I have to clarify the story. I don't want to quote her 100%, but it was, they loved pie too, you know.
Maine blueberries are very seductive. When you have a Maine blueberry, it ruins you for every other blueberry for the rest of your
special.
Life.
It's true.
But that gives me, Claudia Wu is here with us. She's the co-founder and creative director of Cherry Bomb. That's a great idea for a pop-up. having Gentle and Hires do a pie? Blueberry pie thing.
Yes, yeah.
We can collaborate with
totally.
You guys.
So, we can provide the crust and, you know, yeah, absolutely.
It's all coming together.
Let's do it.
We'll make Homa do some frozen yogurt.
Oh,
Homa,
man.
Right? That's got, that has to be in your future.
That seems like a great idea.
Exactly.
Yep. So Marty, so Andrea, at that time, she was like, if you ever do a book, you have to let us photograph it. I'm like, let you photograph it? What do you mean? Like, of course. So it was very collaborative. Andrea did the styling, and we brought, you know, she brought tons of props. We brought tons of props. We shot it in our home. Melissa and I live in a house in Crown Heights, so we shot there. We shot in the commercial kitchen that we were working at, and it was very, you know, Albert, who was our fruit farmer, brought us, I was like, Albert, we're shooting rhubarb, so he'd go out and get, like, beautiful rhubarb with the leaves on it, which they would never bring to market because the rhubarb leaves are poisonous, and also, like, gooseberries, spiky gooseberry branches, and just brought us all kinds of things, and we tried to really have fun with it because, you know, a book process is, it's a lot of work, and it's your editor and the publisher is pushing you to move fast through it. So it's like, there's definitely like you're meeting deadlines as you go along, but we wanted to, one thing we really wanted to do was be creative with the crust, and we knew we wouldn't necessarily be able to like give all kinds of diagrams and things, but we wanted to at least express like that pie making should be creative and fun and inspire people. And I think, you know, having our friends photograph it and help us like highlight those things that are like, even if you know, most people, if you see something, you want to recreate it. You don't necessarily need the instructions too. So that and also keeping it seasonal. And mm-hmm. we really wanted to just make it a reflection of what we were doing.
We shouldn't finish a show without talking about a secret to good pie crust.
A secret to good pie crust, I think, first of all, is just don't be afraid. Try it. Make it yourself. Pick the fat that you want. If you're into lard, if you're into Crisco, fine. Whatever, you know, like. I don't mean that, but like if you are, like if you're going to go buy it over making it, like just do it. I don't care, you know. Put a little butter in the Crisco, but I don't like Crisco at all. But like lard and, you know, just try it. At least try it. And, don't overwork it. Keep it cold. The kind of stuff that, you know, is pretty common knowledge if you look at anything about pie. But first and foremost is people are like, I don't want to make the crust. I'm scared. Just try it.
Do it.
Yeah.
So the future for 420 Blackbirds. So you guys have a lot going on.
Yeah.
Tell us some of the upcoming things you have.
Well, after opening the library last year, we run the cafe at the Brooklyn Public Library, which has been such a wonderful experience, and we're kind of our foray into things other than pie. and you can get a really good meal there for a good price and good Stumptown coffee, and that's been a great experience, and that's going really well. While we opened that, we were building a production kitchen, which is just about 10 minutes walk from our shop in Gowanus, and we went from one oven to six ovens. And
how many square feet?
It's about 3,000 square feet.
Wow.
So it's
a
good size. And then a 1,000 square foot yard. So slated for next spring.
You have a 1,000 square foot yard?
Yeah, it's like a long, narrow yard.
When do the parties start?
I know, right? Well, we're hopefully this summer. We'll see. But definitely the plan is next spring to open there. We kind of needed to. We're working on our wholesale. So with the growth, we are now able to wholesale and deliver throughout the city. So any wholesale clients out there that need a good pie on your menu.
That's funny. I think that's what we asked you on the first day.
Oh, yeah.
Because we were a few months away from opening Seersucker. Uh-huh. And we were like, do you wholesale these pies?
Oh, I'm sure we were like, we didn't
like,
sell whole pies yet. We didn't sell whole pies until like a couple months in, which was like, people were like, what's wrong with you? Are you crazy? We're like, we have one oven and we don't even know what we're doing.
I had no idea you had one oven. That's amazing.
Yeah. So
what are some of the plans for the commercial space?
In the space, first of all, again, scaling up, getting the workflow good and wholesaling. And once we, in the front section, we have an area that sort of, we're calling it a flex space, but we're hoping to do classes. Some work training stuff would be great. I mean, I think work training happens no matter what, but I like the idea of, having some sort of internship program that's our own, something like that. And the cafe, which will have a garden. And we have a great roof, too, so we'd like to...
You have a roof, too?
Yeah, we do. A great big roof with lots of sun. So long as there isn't any high-rises that go up next to us anytime soon, we'll be fine. We'd like to do something up there, but, of course, all of these things require, you know, funding. So we're kind of... I think, you know, you're very ambitious when you have your own business and you want to do everything at once, but one of the things I've learned is that you have to manage your expectations of, like, what can actually get done. So definitely... this right now, I mean, again, it's July already, so we're like already thinking about Thanksgiving. So we're basically like, we really want to do a really excellent, well-organized Thanksgiving and holiday season, and then next spring we'll hopefully open all that up. And we're thinking about potentially some pie classes over the fall just to kind of get our feet wet and see if anybody wants to come out and hang out with us and make pie.
I see Jack nodding his head. Jack, I think we have to have, can you book Emily for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I tried this Thanksgiving. I was way too late in the game, though.
Oh, there's always first come, first serve.
I was like Wednesday afternoon or something trying to make it happen.
I'm sure Emily will have plenty of time on her hands around Thanksgiving to come back on the radio show and bring what would the Thanksgiving pies be?
Well, we've kind of narrowed it down to four pies. We do the brown butter pumpkin, and we do the salted caramel apple, which actually is still the biggest selling pie to this day. We do a bittersweet chocolate pecan, and we do, actually this Sunday is National Pecan Pie Day.
Who knew?
I know, right?
Monday was National Fried Chicken Day.
These national food days.
Yeah.
And then we do salty honey, which is
my favorite.
Yeah, it's super cultish kind of. Well, I don't know, cultish is the
word. Do you have that all year round?
We do.
That's so good.
It's like based on a chess pie recipe, so it's not, doesn't require, you know, honey's not seasonal. So
that's sort of my favorite spring pie from 4 and 20, and then my favorite cold weather pie is your oatmeal black bottom pie.
Oh, the black bottom. Oh, yep.
Explain what a black bottom pie is.
Well, it isn't something we made up. It came from, we found it in an old farm journal cookbook, which where we have taken a lot of inspiration from, is sort of old farmers' wives' recipes. And so chocolate, dark or any kind of chocolate, but a chocolate bottom. So you just take a ganache and spread it on the bottom. So you'll see us do that with a lot of different things. We do it with a spruce custard, the pecan has that as well, so it's good. I mean, you know, chocolate at the bottom of the pie.
Can't Amazing. And you mentioned you and Melissa still share a house?
We do.
So you work together. So you work together. You live together. Uh-huh. You drive together, I guess. How have you two not killed each other?
We don't do anything socially together anymore.
Really?
Like, we're like, okay, like, so I'll be like, I'm going to dinner. You want to come? She's like, no. She's like, no. In the house, we each have our own floor, so we don't actually like share a bathroom or anything, which is a major thing. But and it's funny because as sisters, we like had bedrooms right next to each other too. But and even with the car, like, you know, it's New York, so you don't. We have a Vespa and we have bikes and we take the subway, so it's not like we don't go to work together every single morning. I think we would kill each other if we did.
You two are covered transportation wise.
Yeah, yeah.
Are there other Elson siblings?
We have an older brother. Yep.
And where does he live?
He lives in South Dakota.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you go back much?
Maybe once a year. Not enough. Mm-hmm. It's really a shame. We should go home more often. But, you know, it's just with... I mean, I don't even get out of New York that much, to tell you the truth. Like,
yeah, speaking of which, what are your summer plans?
Well, we have a shop in Orient, and so...
Oh, you do?
Yeah,
you didn't even mention that.
Oh, yeah.
What's the shop in Orient?
So, Orient is at the very tip of the North Fork of Long Island.
It's so beautiful
it's
out there.
Beautiful community, beautiful, lovely community, and...
Anything bad you've heard about the Hamptons? This is the opposite.
Absolutely. And laid back, and like, very nice folks, and big sailing community. So, a woman named Toby Bannister, who helped us, she helped us open the shop, actually. She was one of our first counter staff, but she was doing it out of, like, I'm your friend, you need help, I'm coming to help you, you know, and did all of our chalkboard signs and lots of fun stuff and just has an amazing energy. She married a guy from Orient. Aubrey is his name, and she's like, look, there's this space, we should do a pop-up shop, and we're like, that's like 2.5 hours away, how are we going to get pie out there? But we just drive pie out twice a week, and you know, pie has a good shelf life, so it holds for a few days. And
oh, it does?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a 3-day, you know, that's about what we do. I mean, that's what pie, comparatively speaking to like baked like a scone or something, you wouldn't hold for 4 days, but pie is really, by its nature, meant to be, go for a couple of days, so... We take the pie out and have Stumptown out there as well and have a little pop-up shop. You can get pie and take it on the boat.
Awesome. So a final question for you, aside from not opening up a scone shop, I guess, what best piece of advice you've ever gotten or would like to give?
Well, I think this ties into something from Jubilee, actually, as well. When Ina was saying, only hire happy people, or Ina Garten was said only, I thought that was amazing advice. I'm like, that's such good advice. Like, you know, she said something like, you can teach people about cheese, but you can't teach them how to be happy. Like, that to me reiterated the idea that, like, have a sense of humor. Like, which my aunt was just, I was just having a long talk with her about it the other night, and she's like, you know, so many things in life, like, it's particularly in the service business when you're serving people food and customer comes back and complains about whatever they might complain about. If you can't, like, have a little sense of humor about it and, like, just be, laugh about things a little bit, you know, I think that's super important. And I'm, the more, the further I get into business and working with people, I'm like, okay, like, at the end of the day, like, we have to be able to laugh about stuff and have fun and make sure that we're, like, enjoying ourselves as we do this. So, I mean, that's kind of big overall sweeping advice, but it is pretty, pretty important.
That's awesome. So all you people out there in Radio Land, be happy and eat lots of pie. So Emily, thank you so much for coming on the show. And thank you to everyone out there for listening. Radio Cherry Bomb is a co-production of the Heritage Radio Network and Cherry Bomb Magazine. To learn more about our magazine and to or to subscribe, visit cherrybomb.com. You can subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or Stitcher. And as Patti Smith said, you can't carve up the world. It's not a pie.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.